Blog Talk Radio. Bill O'Reilly is out. What does it mean? Well, I think it means, number one, Bill O'Reilly got caught with his pants down, with his hand in the cookie jar, however you want to talk about it. But number two, they have been going after O'Reilly for years. Obviously, he's been a conservative icon and has really done a lot to push forward the agenda and ideas of the conservatives. Now, I just read an article that said he really is more of a centrist than he was a conservative, but a lot of his ideas were conservative, and he was a pretty hard-hitting journalist, it seemed to me. Here's a little clip, though, on his firing. But the real question is, what does this mean for Fox News and the conservative movement in media in general, especially when Rupert Murdoch's children are apparently much more liberal in their thinking than he is? My prediction is there's going to be an attempt to de-emasculate, to remove the male anatomy of Fox News to make it like the other networks, not because of the profit, but because it seems to me people that are leftist, liberals, whatever, put their agenda first, even before profit. 608, we'll be right back. Here's a clip, though, with Bill O'Reilly talking about his removal from ABC News.
Bombshell announcement from Fox News that their biggest star is out amid growing reports of sexual harassment that sparked an advertiser revolt. Bill O'Reilly, the anchor of the cable network's most popular show, will not be returning after a two-decade run. The announcement coming with O'Reilly on a planned vacation. He was seen today shaking hands with the Pope at the Vatican. And just a short time ago, we heard from Bill O'Reilly himself, his response tonight. Here's ABC's chief business correspondent, Rebecca Jarvis, leading us off.
Caution, you are about to enter the no spin zone.
No spinning it tonight. The king of cable news dethroned. Bill O'Reilly, the host of cable's most popular show for 16 years, out at Fox News in the wake of that growing sexual harassment scandal. Lachlan and James Murdoch, executives at Fox's parent company, reportedly pushed for O'Reilly's ouster. Their father, Rupert Murdoch, ultimately signing off amid a growing scandal. 21st Century Fox announcing that after a thorough and careful review of the allegations, the company and Bill O'Reilly have agreed that Bill O'Reilly will not be returning to the Fox News channel. Bill O'Reilly also releasing his own statement. It is tremendously disheartening that we part ways due to completely unfounded claims, but that is the unfortunate reality many of us in the public eye must live with today. O'Reilly's statement comes after those new images tonight, showing him on vacation, shaking hands with the Pope at the Vatican today. Back in New York, Fox executives clearly were not forgiving. And an advertiser revolt, at least 83 pulling their commercials from his show. New accusers coming forward, including this African-American Fox employee. Her attorney says this picture shows her calling the company's anonymous tip line, alleging O'Reilly would leer and grunt at her, calling her hot chocolate. One of the few who has publicly defended O'Reilly when the scandal broke, President Trump, telling the New York Times,
I think he's a person I know well. He's a good person. Personally, I think he shouldn't have settled.
Trump, reportedly a friend of O'Reilly's for years and a frequent guest on his show. After the release of that infamous Access Hollywood video,
when you're a star, they let you do it. You can do anything.
I'm not going to play too much of it because it's crude guy talk.
Then candidate Trump also defended former Fox CEO Roger Ailes before he was forced out last summer after his own harassment scandal, with multiple accusers coming forward. And tonight, after 20 years, a stunning fall for the Fox host. One of O'Reilly's accusers, radio host Wendy Walsh, saying she doesn't want money.
We know this is the tip of the iceberg.
And so let's get to our chief business correspondent, Rebecca Jarvis, tonight. She's live outside Fox News headquarters. And Rebecca, you're learning more about how Fox reached this decision.
It's obvious how they reached the decision. You don't need a cookie Jarvis to tell you that. Now, here's a little bit from Levin. on how this is. What they do is they get these people and they, you know, they get the pile on starts, and then there's no way to save them. Even somebody like O'Reilly, who I'm not defending, but I mean, you think the media really cares about sexual morality? The mainstream media? I mean, if you knew about their private lives, I'm sure it'd turn your hair white. But here's a little bit from Levin.
We part ways due to completely unfounded claims. Bill O'Reilly issued a statement insisting he did nothing wrong. He wishes Fox News the best after being fired. This is from the Daily Mail. Bill O'Reilly's out at Fox News after 20 years in the cable news network. Rupert Murdoch made the announcement in a letter signed by himself and his two liberal sons, James and Lachlan, who urged his father to fire O'Reilly, as did his daughter-in-law. Fox announced that Tucker Carlson will move to 8 p.m., the 5 will move to 9, Hannity will stay at 10, Bowling will take the 5 o'clock slot, Martha McCallum will continue at the 7 o'clock slot, our buddy Brett Baer will continue at 6. Very logical. Rupert Murdoch reportedly made this decision to fire O'Reilly after being pressured by his two sons. I'm just reading the news. After a thorough and careful review of the allegations, the company and Bill O'Reilly have agreed that he will not be returning to the Fox News Channel. Excuse me. O'Reilly, who recently signed a multi-year contract worth over $20 million a year, was halfway around the world at the time, having spent the morning meeting Pope Francis in Vatican City. The popular host was in St. Peter's Square with his son for Pope Francis' weekly address, after which stood in a VIP line to shake hands with the Holy Leader. O'Reilly released a statement on Wednesday afternoon saying it is tremendously disheartening that we part ways due to completely unfounded claims. Over the past 20 years at Fox, O'Reilly says, I've been extremely proud to launch and lead one of the most successful news programs in history, which has consistently informed and entertained millions of Americans and significantly contributed to building Fox into the dominant news network and television. It's tremendously disheartening we part ways due to completely unfounded claims. But that is the unfortunate reality many of us in the public eye must live with today. We'll always look back at my time at Fox with great pride, the unprecedented success we achieved. With my deepest gratitude to all my dedicated viewers, I wish only the best for the Fox News Channel. New York Magazine reported earlier in the day that the executives at Fox News were the leaks to this guy, Gabriel Sherman, at New York Magazine, unbelievable. This guy has been trying to destroy the Fox News Channel from day one. Now, as those of you who are longtime listeners to this program know, I was no fan of Bill O'Reilly's. In fact, Bill O'Reilly pretty much despised each other. One of the reasons is because of this conduct in the past. Now, let me be quite clear about this as an attorney. There are allegations and there are allegations. Some are more meritorious than others. Some are more meritorious than others. But when people have actual tape recordings of you and you cut a deal in part to get the tape recordings back, that's pretty bad. If somebody says you looked funny at them when they were sitting outside your office for several years, that's pretty preposterous. There's enough there, a pattern with the guy at the it's quite obvious he has some issues. Now, the point is, the Fox News Channel, knowing at least most of this, re-upped them for $15 to $20 million a year recently. Recently. Then he became a target of the New York Times all of a sudden. He became a target of CNN. Media Matters went to work. This Gabriel Sherman of New York Magazine went to work. Now, I'm certainly not going to defend Bill O'Reilly, but I will say this. The left works as a cabal. They target people and they try to take them out. Not just somebody like O'Reilly, but they try to target good people sometimes and take them out. And I hearken back to the Bill Clinton years. I really do. The New York Times, CNN, all the rest of them were very dismissive of the allegations against Bill Clinton, including an allegation by Juanita Broderick of rape. Of rape. I don't think O'Reilly's been accused of rape, has he? More than that, of sexual assault. Ask Kathleen Willey. of sexual assault. I remember the women who would come forward were brutalized. Their reputations were attacked. We're not just talking about a TV host on cable news. We're talking about the power of the presidency, the power of his surrogates, the power of the news media coming down on the heads of all these women. Paula Jones, how she was treated and dismissed. And the prosecutor who was investigating all this, Ken Starr, how he was trashed by one liberal media outlet after another. We really had a president who was and probably still is a sexual predator. A sexual predator in the same news media for the longest time dismissive and protective of Bill Clinton, as they are most Democrats, I might add. Apart from O'Reilly, I look at the media here. I look how the media, this is an education for all of us. I look how the media conducted themselves. And the New York Times kept pounding away, and CNN kept pounding away, and Media Matters, of course, is out there, a left-wing hack site. New York Magazine, Gabriel Sherman, whose wife works for Politica, which is a radical left operation. And, of course, the Murdoch sons, who are both liberals. And now we read the daughter-in-law, one of the daughter-in-laws, Sarah, I think her name is, born in London, raised in Australia, married Lachlan. Now, what else does this tell us? Well, for me, ladies and gentlemen, and I don't mean to sound self-serving here, it tells us we have to rely on conservative outlets for information, too. Whether that's talk radio or websites, certain bloggers, RKCR TV, and so forth. You know, interestingly, the benefit of having a subscription service like CRTV or The Blaze and so forth, we don't have subscribers who can be intimidated by the left. You actually had reporters like at CNN. What's the guy's name? Dylan Byer. I think it was him. Maybe it was somebody else. Calling, may not have been him. That's my recollection. Calling advertisers, or maybe it was Media Matters, or what's the difference? Asking them if they're going to continue to advertise on Fox, on the O'Reilly Show.
All right, so basically two standards. The goal is to get Bill O'Reilly out, which they've done now, but you know, I mean, all right, if I was going to do an analysis of this, obviously Bill O'Reilly had a lot riding on his shoulders. He should have been a little more careful. You know, he should have been, I guess, stepped up his game a little bit, been a better person. If it was well known that that's the kind of guy he was. Anyway, what I would consider doing if I was him is starting my own network, do a mea culpa, say I'm out of a different generation. I just learned a hard lesson. I'm, you know, spending time with God and counselor, and what I did was wrong. Although if he says that, then he opens himself up to even more lawsuits probably. But, you know, it, like what Levin was saying, is he guilty of being rude and, you know, basically gross or sexually, you know, impolite? Or was he guilty of assault? You know, two radically different things. It sounds to me like he was kind of a horn dog and made a lot of passes at women, which happened in his day growing up and is not really allowed anymore. But like I say, this the liberal standard is so much different. Anyway, we'll take a break here and come back, change gears. Al Green for this week, 523-1450. Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, AM Las Cruces and AM 1450. I think Tucker is a great replacement, even though I don't watch Fox News. And we do have a phone call. Is it Bob? Good morning. This is Kelly. You're on the air. Who's this?
This is Bob Kelly.
Bob. Hey, I have to do my Bob call.
Thank you. I appreciate it very much. I'm going to start cutting down on my calls, Kelly, because I'm starting to get busy. I'm applying for Walmart. But I was listening to Levine's statements, and, you know, what happened to our president, Donald Trump, all these women got together and claimed him of gross negligence or whatever. But I don't think you can blame Bill O'Reilly for looking at a woman who is beautiful to look at. And then they're coming back and saying that it was accusations of assault. I don't trust this lawyer.
Wait a minute. I didn't hear anybody say that he assaulted anyone. I think what he did is he did a couple of things. Number one, he made passes at women he thought he was attractive, of course. But number two, that he somehow mixed his business in with that. You know, I'll help you get established on TV. And by the way, what are you doing later? Kind of a thing. So, Bob, I got to take a break. Was there anything important? You too, Bob. Say hi to your buddy.
Thank you. You too, Bob.
Mayor Ken.
Kelly. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. All right. Mayor Ken may be listening in extra early this morning to hear about Bill. All right. We'll be right back. 523-1450, unless you're Bob and you've already got the number memorized. Well, today is the day that Ben Rossin's going to be in, finally, get him back on the show here. Now, let me give you some headlines. North Korea threatens to turn USA to ashes. Russians move troops and armored vehicles to border. James Murdoch plans new Fox News. Riley didn't even get a chance to say goodbye. CIA FBI is launching a manhunt for a leaker who gave top secret documents to WikiLeaks. In the Navy and Marine Corps, you can no longer send nude photos to your fellow sailors. And as you heard yesterday, Aaron Hernandez killed himself, the famous murderer. 89% of media has a negative opinion of the president. 89% of the media that's been put out there, I should put it that way, 89% of the published stories have been negative towards the president. There was never a, what do you call it, honeymoon period. Venezuelan protests against government leave 3 dead. Think about that. Trapped in a country where the country refuses to have an open market and therefore people are starving for years. Ann Coulter's appearance in Berkeley canceled. Camille Paglia, Trump already headed towards re-election. Dems badly overplayed their hand. I agree with that. Richard Simmons, the famous effeminate exercise guru, has broken his silence. I'm not missing, just a little bit under the weather. Who cares where Richard Simmons is? I don't get this like fixation with a guy. More Americans from 18 to 34 now living with parents than spouses. That's kind of depressing. Paul Ryan, there was an article the other day. Paul Ryan is very unpopular with the GOP. Now, Paul Ryan, I think, is one of those politicians who comes across, whether it's true or not, of looking down on everybody else, smarter than, better than. Woman who left bacon at mosque pleads guilty to hate crime. My question was it a BLT? Maybe she left it in the pew, you know? Actually, I don't think mosques have pews, but. Too much rain resulting in California salad shortage. And the mystery of a 730,000 missing elephants. When I looked at that story, I had to I had no idea there were actually supposed to be 730,000 elephants out there, let alone that many that were missing. All right, so let's do some local news, kids. We'll be right back. 6:30, Kelly O'Connell AM, Las Cruces, 523, 1450, with a little help of Al Green, who always has his shirt off on his album covers, who's kind of a sex symbol in the day. Looked like he was about 150 pounds. All right, so the guy that almost won in Georgia but didn't, and they made it into this huge deal where he was, you know, almost won, so he won, and it was the greatest victory. This guy has been compared to Pajama Boy, and he looks exactly like him. And I found some other commentators that were saying that he talks like Barack Obama, which is so disgusting just to hear, you know what I'm saying? So anyway, here's a little bit from Limbaugh.
John Ossoff for his victory in the Georgia special election last night. He called it a victory for the ages. It just such a resounding victory last night for the Democrats and John Ossoff. And as a result of this victory, he has to run again. If he did it once, he can do it again. They've got a runoff coming up on June the 20th where Ossoff will no doubt humiliate Trump once again. Ossoff will no doubt embarrass and humiliate the Republican Party and the seat of Newt Gingrich and Tom Price once again. The Democrats, a great day. No matter where you look in the drive-by media, they're running around celebrating victory today. And I just want to get in on it. I am so happy for them. I'm sure they were asking themselves, when the hell are we going to win one? We're feeling like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. When are we going to win one? And won one last night, folks. It's so great. I don't care what network you watch. They won one. It was such a big victory. Aaron Hernandez hanged himself in jail up in a prison in New England. It's an amazing turn of events that happened when you look at where we were yesterday discussing what might happen there. Look, all that Hollywood money, the Democrats spent all that money. And by the way, we cannot discuss this victory without noting that the Democrats also defeated Russia in this election. So Hollywood, they defeated the Republicans, all 11 of them. They defeated Trump and no doubt defeated the Russians. I mean, I'm surprised. I'm sounding so excited about this. I don't think I've ever been this happy about a Democrat win. It's just the most amazing thing to see out there. And our politics is taking strange turns and twists. In his victory speech, John Ossoff, a.k.a. Pajama Boy, praised outside money and interests for his win, his own outside money and his own interests for his win. He also had some unkind things to say about Paul Ryan's PAC. You know, the Republicans tried to cheat. The Republicans tried to win this. And the Republicans tried to cheat so bad, they ran 11 people. You realize how unfair the Republicans are. They don't care about democracy. They don't care about, all they care about is winning. They ran 11 different people hoping to wipe out this Pajama Boy future of the Democrat Party. And nevertheless, the guy, he won. I mean, he ran away with it here. It isn't even close. If I were the Democrats, I'd make a move to cancel the runoff election and just say, we've already won it. Why don't you Republicans give up? The Republicans might agree to that. given the way things seem to be going. I'm just reflecting what I'm seeing in the media. I mean, let's go to the audio soundbites. Grab soundbite number one. We have a montage drive-by media celebrating the victory. Pajama boy John Ossoff yesterday.
A wake-up call for Republicans in a deep red state, Georgia. Democrat John Ossoff coming within just a couple of percentage points of an outright victory.
Stop the tape. Stop the tape and rewind to see outright victory. He won, folks. It was a victory. He won. Okay, and just a couple of points away from an outright win. See how this happens here. Now that you know how to listen to this, by the way, that's lovely and gracious. Oops, can't say that. Sexist. That's the info, babe. Allison Camerota.
All right, so the point here, you get the point, is that there is this idea out there. And, you know, I think that I had wrote an article on this because I noticed something. The liberals act like they have, I guess you would call it karma. If you do something that they disagree with, you're going to get it back. You're going to take it in the shorts. But it doesn't matter if it has anything to do with the natural law. The natural law is something you could talk about every day. It was so interesting, combination of ancient ideas. And then the church develops their part of it, philosophers and theologians and everything. So it's a very robust and powerful set of ideas, but it is not in any way in keeping with socialism, which is when you get liberals and get them one-on-one and get them to talk about what they're into, it's always they always buy into to the ideas behind socialism. So these guys are acting like that there's going to be a fall. Trump's a bad guy. He's done A, B, C, and D wrong things. And he's also represents the wrong end of history, according to Obama's talking about it. They're representing justice. It is a totally crazy set of ideas that is monstrously harmful. And yet they think no matter what happens, because this is a part of Marxism, no matter what happens, breaks down, everything falls, and it gets rebuilt into the model of socialism, and that's going to happen to Trump. Trump is going to be shut down, too. I've got some weather for you, 523, 1450, and some Ben Ross, and I know you've missed Ben, like I've missed Ben. 641, 642 on the button, 523, 1450. We'll be right back. AM Las Cruces. Hey, it's Kelly.
Kelly, Bob. Last
Bob.
Call. Hey, I dropped off five coffees to Juan Vasquez's office yesterday. Four of them are Juan Valdez. One is a great value instant coffee container. So let's see how he responds when I address the council. The commissioners on Tuesday, okay?
He might suspect that you put some X-lax in it.
No, he's going to think I'm bribing him. That's the first thing he's going to say, you know, so I'll see what happens. And you'll be in touch. I mean, you already know what's going on, Kelly, so I'll see you later. Have a good day.
You too, Bob. Just got word from Bob that he dropped off a coffee to Juan Vasquez, who he claims is a very, very objectionable person. So anyway, Bob out there spreading a little love. Now, all right, so Glenn Beck is now predicting the end of Fox News. I think this is interesting. And, you know, have you ever noticed that Glenn Beck is like a spurned woman? He's very catty. If something happens to somebody that in his mind has wronged him, he cheap shots him. And he basically does the same liberal thing. You're a bad person, therefore bad things happen to you. So the catty Glenn Beck says it's not going away right now, Fox News, but you're seeing a significant weakening. Who's the big bad wolf that will stand in the door? So according to him, the big bad wolf that defended Fox News was Roger Ailes. He's been removed for sexual harassment. This is not an excuse for these people, but it's a generational thing. And a lot of people will hear that and say, well, we're living in a better generation. You know, this is a much more, if you're going to put it into those terms, sexually immoral generation. So is it a better generation? I mean, there might be more venues for women to be able to, you know, defend themselves against sexual harassment. But I don't think that, you know, I think the generation that we're living in is much less moral than it was 20, 30, 40 years ago, obviously. So what do you think about that? 5, 2, 3, 14, 50. And I think we're living in a worse generation. We're living in a generation when people, and speaking of the natural law, the purpose of the natural law to keep you connected to reality. We're living at a time when people can do anything that they want to, and the outcome would be, you know, I mean, the thing that always comes to mind is gay marriage, because it's would seem so surreal like 50 years ago. But the point being that natural law has a connection to some aspect of reality, some revelation if you're religious, or some aspect of the real world if you're not religious. And there's two parts to natural law. And the Romans had a kind of natural law, not really wholly, really completely developed, although writers like Cicero, he did a lot of work in the natural law, but there's this idea that there was a law out there that conformed to reality. Now, from a Christian aspect, and that's a pagan side of it. The Christian aspect, it's you know, or Jewish, it's part of the Bible or part of the revelation of the Bible. But either way, it's connected to reality. And now we're living in a time when all it takes is a group of people to decide what the law is, and that's the law. So to see somebody like Neil Gorsuch come along, who is a natural law jurist, it's kind of interesting to consider maybe what he'll be doing in his summaries of cases. All right, 6:48, we'll take a little break here. And I've got 1,000 topics and not enough time for them, so let me pick through and see if I can. I got a few interesting stories for you. You might find entertaining, distracting, enjoyable, tormenting. 6:48, Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, AM 1450, 523, 1450. We'll be right back. Stories that you might find interesting or scary, troubling, notable. France says it has proof Assad carried out chemical attack that killed 86. Syrian president said that allegations from the international community, his forces deliberately poisoned civilians, are 100% fabrication. But France says that its intelligence services have evidence that the Syrian government carried out the alleged chemical weapons attacks on the rebels. And so why would they do it? Well, maybe to test Trump, maybe because they knew they could get away with it, but they didn't get away with it, I guess. All right, so here is an interesting story. Hunters deployed to kill radioactive wild boars as residents return to homes in Fukushima nuclear disaster zone. And 6 years after the quake, the authorities are saying evacuated areas are safe. Only about half the people, though, are fallen for this, and only half have returned. But in the meantime, you've got radioactive wild boars that have taken over, and they're living like kings. Nobody was there to stop them, and so they went into people's gardens. They went into the areas around their houses in the cities, and they ate a lot of stuff that was radioactive, and now these boars are radioactive themselves, and so they are capable of attacking people or causing fatal car crashes. And yep, they're running amok, folks. And it is a little bit ominous. They've been gorging on plants contaminated with radioactive elements from the disaster site. And this is a site where if you went into the Fukushima reactor, even though you couldn't see anything was wrong, it would kill you within 2 minutes. There's that much radioactivity there. But these boars, unlike the boars in Washington, D.C., they came down from the mountains. Japan is a fairly mountainous country. And they found a place that was comfortable, plenty of food, no humans to get in the way. And so since last April, a squad using high power, this is so Japanese, I can't believe it, high power pellet guns. You're going to send somebody out against a wild boar that could easily kill a person with a pellet gun. All right, that's how they do it in Japan. They became very pacifists after World War II. I guess they're learning their lesson. One of the mayors, how would you like to be a mayor of a town that just got wiped off the map? It's not really clear now which is the master of the town, says Mayor Namie's Mayor Tamotsu Baba. We don't get rid of him and turn this into a human-led town, the situation will get even wilder and more uninhabitable. And so they're trapping him. They're shooting him with high-powered pellet guns. And all right, so I've got a little bit of Jim Gaffigan for you doing stand-up for the Pope, and this is just a little interview, but check it out. Can you imagine how charming doing stand-up for the Pope?
You have a big family. You got five kids?
Five. This is on Conan.
Five children.
You have five children, which in this day and age, a lot of people like myself, Andy, were like two and,
Even more.
Well, we did it right the first two times, so we didn't have to keep trying.
I even have Mormons come up to me going, you got to settle down. It's a lot of kids, but, I love it.
Well, here's the crazy thing. That's all fine, but you told me recently that you were living in a two-bedroom apartment with five children.
Yes.
Are you still in? And I think you had a picture.
Yeah.
Let's show that picture. This is you guys.
Yeah. That was.
You have a box?
Yeah.
You keep your children in a box.
If they behave well enough, they get the box.
See, that's first-class accommodation.
Well, we eventually had to move. We had to.
Oh, you did move.
We had to downsize. We went to a one-bedroom. No, we moved. Now we, I think there's like four bedrooms now. And,
Okay.
Yeah, there are. So like two for a room, and there's always space for another one because we're open to it because Jesus told me to.
Okay. This brings up something I wanted to mention. I said that you have this big show coming up at Madison Square Garden, and we plugged that, but you have an even bigger show coming up.
No, this is insane. Yeah. I am going to be doing stand-up comedy for Pope Francis.
This is true. It's not a joke.
He doesn't know. He has no idea.
So how did this happen?
It's like 6 months ago, I got an email inviting me to be at this event in Philadelphia for Pope Francis. And I thought, oh, this is nice. And, the Bishop of Philadelphia had invited me, and I was like, oh, this is great. My wife's very Catholic. She's like a Shiite Catholic, so she was thrilled. And so, and then a couple weeks ago, the organizers came to a show I was doing in Atlantic City, and afterwards they're like, so how long do you want to do? And I was like, oh, I'm performing. And they're like, yeah, you're performing in front of the Pope. And I'm like, what, does he know English? And they're like, no, he doesn't. It'll be translated. And then what I realized is that I'm going to be performing in front of the Pope and over 1 million people. outside in Philadelphia.
That's the most insane gig I've ever heard of before.
And I don't know, you know, like I keep thinking there's going to be a phone call where they're going to be like, oh, we just watched your stand-up. We're changing our mind.
Well, first of all, how did you get – who else is performing? I mean, are they
– There's Aretha Franklin.
Wow. Okay. That's
she's funny. Yeah.
She's funny.
She's funny.
Yeah.
Bocelli, I can't remember. Everyone's parents has his CD.
Andrea Bocelli.
Yeah. That guy. He prefers to be called that guy.
Yeah.
All right. So something that we can talk about after we're done with Ben is that the Pope has just come out. This is one of the stories I wanted to cover with you and get your feedback. The Pope buys into evolution, which is official Catholic theology now, believe it or not. I'll tell you more about that later, but he also, I'll tell you, I got to fill you in later, but we'll take you out. Kelly O'Connell, Amos Cruz, the same 1455-23-1450 with some Al Green. We'll be back with Ben Rossin. And the Rossin Report, yeah, baby. We're delighted to have back in the studio finally Ben Rossin and his Rossin Report.
Good morning, Kelly. How are you this morning?
Good. We missed you, Ben.
Thank you.
How are things going?
Things are going pretty well, Kelly. We've got some exciting things, or that's the wrong word to use. We've got some interesting things coming up on Tuesday's commission meeting. It's going to be a very lengthy hot meeting, for lack of a better word.
Are there going to be nuclear bores there to heat things up?
Well, I hope not, and hopefully that goes.
No comment.
But Commissioner Vasquez has put Julia Brown's contract on the agenda. That has been on the agenda once before, and that was a long meeting with a lot of public input. I'd encourage, Kelly, any listeners that feel strongly about our county manager one way or the other to make sure that their commissioner knows how they feel.
Uh-huh.
That'll be a item that takes a lot of time and is a big discussion topic.
What's your feeling on Julia Brown?
Well, you know, Kelly, there are several things that she needs to do to improve. There's no question there. The county commission has done two evaluations of her, and I just found out about 2 weeks ago that neither Commissioner Garrett or Commissioner Commissioner Garrett or Commissioner Hancock ever gave Julia the written evaluation that we did. And so that's very disappointing to me, because that means that in her 3 years with the county, she's never had an evaluation. So, you know, then we go, okay, so where do we go from there if we've not?
Well, I have an idea.
Okay.
Share the evaluation next time.
Yeah, that's it's a really good start, you know? But
Do you think that you need to sit down former chair and let them know how things work, or?
Well, unfortunately, there's no documents left from when Commissioner Hancock was here. He either took them all to Florida or put them in the nearest shredder. I don't know which one.
Do you think that's just a coincidence?
That he would do that right before giving her a 3-year contract with a 30% raise with no evaluation? I think that's pretty interesting.
Yeah, I mean, to say the least, did the paper ever look into that?
You know, I just found out 2 weeks ago in talking with Julia in closed session that, and actually, let me rephrase that. But in talking with Julia, I can't talk about what was in closed sessions, but in talking with Julia, it turns out that she had never received either one of those evaluations.
So not her fault.
You know, I
couldn't really say that. All right. So let me ask you this. Any chance with her 30% raise she can buy her own car now?
I'm sure she could do that now. That brings her compensation up to the 140,000-ish level, I think 138, something like that.
If anybody who has a nice used car, feel free to contact the county commission and let them know.
It's going to be a really interesting item. And Kelly, I suppose one of the concerns that I have there is if you don't evaluate somebody, and then you terminate them saying they didn't do a good job.
It doesn't sound like a very good background for, it sounds like a good case for an attorney to go in and get some damages.
And the county has paid out many times recently on employment related issues, and we don't need another one. So,
well, the county has wise leadership from Mr. Nelson Gooden.
Nelson's been a terrific county attorney for us.
He is a very, very, very smart guy and a very wise person. So,
and having been a judge, he understands also how a judge looks at things. So that gives us a little different input as well.
So what happened to the evaluation? That is so extraordinary. and you know, that is just, that's mind blowing.
Yeah.
I guess you could say in the former chairman Hancock's defense that it may have been an act of passive aggressiveness.
Certainly. And without him being available to answer, we'll probably never know exactly why he did that. But the same thing with Commissioner Garrett and Julia never receiving the evaluation from 2 years ago when he was chair.
Interesting. So since they're not here, I'm going to offer a defense. They both suffered many strokes or other health-related problems that caused them to forget about it. Okay, so moving on. So is she going to get this year's evaluation?
Well, so I have had on the agenda for the last two meetings and also have on the agenda for this meeting a closed session item dealing with her evaluation. And I hope that the commission will go through that evaluation process first and give her an opportunity to be successful if she wants to be.
And, all right, well, that certainly makes sense. So it's been a while since you've been on. You fill us in. I mean, you've got weeks and weeks of stuff to cover.
Well, I do. Kelly, I'm going to go back to the agenda for next week real quick, because there's another thing on there that I think is very important, and that's we have a resolution for the National Day of Prayer. Unfortunately, I'm not real pleased with the wording of that resolution, so we'll probably have a little discussion about that and trying to see about changing that one a little bit. Another item that we have on the agenda is a beer and a beer wholesaler liquor license for Picacho Peak Brewing Company, and so that'll be a discussion item. And then we also have a grant award for the stormwater, storm warning system weather stations. And those are the ones, Kelly, that if you go to donyanacounty.org/weather, you can actually see all the weather stations live, which is really neat to do when it's raining. You can see where it's raining more in different areas.
Where's this?
DonyanaCounty.org/weather. And so
wow,
it's kind of
amazing.
A neat.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's kind of, I find it kind of fun to just watch what's going on. You see the wind coming in and different things there. So that'll be Tuesday's commission meeting. What else has been going on? There's been a lot going on personally for me, and so I apologize to the listeners for not being here the last 2 weeks. But things are starting to settle down, and we'll get back into the regular attendance here.
Well, we've certainly missed you, and I know that people have called in and asked me personally when you're coming back on, and so you were definitely missed, and we don't want you to be out anymore.
I appreciate that. It's always nice to know that people are actually listening. You know, Kelly, you're kind of used to this, but here we are, the two of us sitting in a room talking to each other, wondering if there's really anyone on the other end of the line.
Yeah.
And so it's nice to know that people are listening and occasionally getting calls and asking questions. And
yeah, no,
I
think there are more, and I've been told this before, but there's more people than you would reckon that were listening in. And so, you know, it's the only place in town, really.
Yeah, it is. One of these days, Kelly, and maybe next meeting we'll do this. I'd love to see if we do a Facebook live posting here, and we'll put it live on the Facebook while we're doing the interview, and people can see what it looks like for those of us here, or the two of us here sitting in this room talking.
Well, but we do have a live stream that goes out every day on Blog Talk Radio. You just look up Kelly O'Connell, and if you want a podcast from the show to listen to it too, Blog Talk Radio is one word, Blog Talk Radio, and then Kelly O'Connell, and you'll find that. And then just go to the main page and look for the day that the show happened on. All right, so
and Kelly, that's really easy to use.
Yeah.
for your listeners. I really enjoy that. I'm glad you put that out there.
Oh, you're welcome. Yeah, you're welcome. And we do appreciate you sponsoring the show. So yeah, go ahead.
And speaking of sponsoring the show, Kelly, from Ross and Builder Supply standpoint, I'm looking for a new installation manager, and we're looking at expanding our installation department. So if there's any listeners out there that have window, door, garage door, mirror, shower door installation experience, fireplaces, and other things, give us a call. I'd love to get a chance to talk to you and see about adding you to our team.
Sounds good, especially in this economy.
Absolutely.
All right, so what is and we do have a phone call here. It could be Bob. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
This is David.
David, thank goodness it's not Bob. No, just kidding, Bob. Hey, Dave, what's going on?
Hey, I think we need an investigation into Garrett and Hancock, and maybe some criminal investigation and some jail time for those two.
What?
For those two guys.
What the bleep? What do you think, Ben? I mean, this is – all right, so David brings up an interesting point. Was there failure? Is it acceptable? Is there a criminal – is it possible there's a criminal element? I think what David's
collusion.
Going at. Yeah.
Yeah, boy, I don't know if there would be a criminal element of not giving someone an employment evaluation. Of course,
along with a big raise. Though,
I was going to say,
I mean,
if you couple
are
that,
kind of like in cahoots with the three of them in cahoots with each other.
If you couple that with two of the county commissioners who had been who had lost their reelection bids after their reelection, giving Julia a 3-year raise or a 3-year. A contract extension and a 30% raise. I don't know. I think that might be a stretch, but I'm not an expert on that law, David.
I attended a meeting right after he lost last summer, and I told all of you at the time, and of course my comments got stricken from the from the docket according to Mr. Garrett because he didn't like what I had to say. But at that time, I made the comment that Mr. Hancock should have been removed. That he should have had no more decision-making powers at all, period. Because he was going to go rogue and just be angry and do stuff to hurt the people of Doñana County. And so I think something needs to be done about it. Dragging him back here, and he needs to face some type of charges.
I somehow don't think they were going to extradite him from Carpetbagger City, Florida.
Well, we could make it painful for him, at least have to start filling out some documents and faxing them or emailing them or something. But I think he pulled one over on Doñana County residents. And
David, what exactly was it? Just because, you know, most people are not going to understand of your excoriation, your criticism of the county at that time. What exactly was Hancock doing that you took exception to?
Well, I mean, he was just running rogue and making decisions and not, you know, living up to the constituents of the people that he represented. And he just went out and he, you know, forced through the raise in the raising the taxes, you know, forcing the buses. You know, we're still going to run them all over freaking Kingdom Come. And, you know, so a lot of stuff got voted down and he just continued to ran rob things through. And I think, you know, I think he was doing something possibly wrong with Ms. Roberts' pay raise. And then not, you know, no type of checking out her job evaluation. I mean, everybody gets evaluated before they get a raise. Procedure there.
Yeah, well, I mean, what is standard in this county? You know, I'd hate to hazard a guess, you know.
Well, with those two clowns at the top of the county government, there was no standard. So that's why now that one of them's gone, the other one's shooing out the door. We need to start getting some standards so that the people that they're representing aren't just, you know, stuff just ramrodded down our throat all the time and our money just wasted and piddled away, like the $250 billion boondoggle thing we have out in the desert that they run races on instead of shooting people up into the sky.
Well, you know, David, you mentioned a comment earlier I want to go back to, which was the transit system, because one thing I did not report here that I meant to report last week was that at our last county commission meeting, we voted 4-1 not to approve the South Central Regional Transit District contract. And so that contract with the county is going away, and that means come July 1st, the start of the next fiscal year, there is no contract with that organization.
This won't be running all over the county like they are now.
That's right.
That's great.
It's called a ghost fleet, David. Let's, you know.
Well, I mean, if that's where a Google bus would be awesome, because then they could get a Google bus, and then they could have a driverless bus taking passengerless people all over the county, and then it would just look kind of cool, you know?
I like your way of thinking there, David.
But David, thanks for the call, and you feel free to call me at my office. My number's in the book, but feel free to call me to continue on the conversation.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you, David. Have a good day. All right. So, I mean, it is absolutely stunning that there would be an evaluation which would have taken a certain amount of effort and input from people, and the evaluation would be of a sitting employee who was being evaluated to see if they were going to be retained or given, in this case, a pay raise. And the evaluation was concluded but never delivered to the employee, and then it was destroyed. That's extraordinary. I mean, even someone as, I think, so full of their own ideas as a Wayne Hancock or a Billy Garrett, don't they have to answer to somebody?
Well, and you know, Kelly, it's not fair to the employee either. As a commissioner, I have wanted to see changes in what Ms. Brown focuses on. And that's what we go through on the evaluation process. But when it's not given to her, then it's hard, I believe, it's hard to then hold her accountable things that weren't given to her.
It's not fair. I mean, unless, and I'm not saying this is true, but unless she was part of the collusion to keep the evaluation from being publicly delivered or, you know, which I'm not saying at all, but I think that would be the only circumstance that you would say that you could hold her accountable. But I mean, it is certainly not fair to her, and it wouldn't stand up in court if she was terminated, that there was no evaluation of her.
Yeah. Well, and that's one of the reasons that I've had this evaluation on the agenda and we've been working on it. I just hope that we go through that process first and give her a chance to be successful. And if she's not, then terminate her at that point.
3 years in, I mean, it's, I don't know. This is a, what can you say? A classic Doña Ana story. Is it not?
It is. Unfortunately, Kelly, it is.
When you heard this, what was your reaction? What were your thoughts?
You know, I guess that right away I think about my background at Ross and Builder Supply and the fact that we do evaluations on a regular basis and go through, you know, strengths and weaknesses and what training needs to be provided for the employee. And to know that we actually went through some of this process on evaluation and it just wasn't delivered, I was pretty upset, Kelly.
Now, let me ask you, it happened not once but twice, 2 years in a row. I assume it happened on purpose. It would seem to be the kind of thing that wouldn't happen once on accident, but to happen twice in a row, it would take a level of skepticism, an indifference towards logic and facts that most people wouldn't be able to offer. So, you know, it was done on purpose. Why was it done? And you know, folks, we're talking about the fact that there was an evaluation of the county manager that was completed 2 years in a row and never delivered to her, and she was given a 30% raise, and now the person that did that is living in Florida. It sounds absurd to hear that.
It sure does, Kelly, and that'll be a big discussion aspect of the next commission meeting on Tuesday the 25th, and so like I say, if there's any listeners out there that feel strongly about this one way or the other, reach out to me, reach out to your elected official, and let us know how you feel so that we can do a good job of representing you.
Do you have to go right now?
I'm going to head at the break, Kelly.
All right. So, well, anything else?
I think that's it. Thanks for having me on. I look forward to being here next Thursday.
Wonderful. Thanks for coming in.
Thank
folks,
you.
Folks, Ben Ross in there. We'll take a break. 523-1450. Absolutely astounding information, though, that he's brought in. 725 Kelly O'Connelly. I'm Les Cruz. AM 1450. 523-1450. And we'll be right back. Folks, absolutely stunning information that Julia Brown was given given an evaluation of her performance after year one, after year two. These were never delivered to her, according to County Commissioner Ben Rawson. And nobody knows what happened to them. And once by the, well, both times by the chair, Billy Garrett, and Wayne Hancock, and Wayne Hancock lost his primary and is now living in Florida. She was given a 30% raise, from what I understand, maybe $35,000 over a 3-year period. That's an extra $100,000, and no evaluation was ever made or delivered. I should say it was made but not delivered. And 2 years in a row cannot possibly be a coincidence, right? So, David wants there to be a prosecution. I asked Ben what was going to happen. He didn't know. So, once again, we have to ask what is happening in Doña Ana when you have a small group of people. The only people who are truly, truly motivated to change anything or do anything tends to be the far left. And so you have a city that is has an underperforming economy, that is traditionally a little bit downtrodden in this area, and you've got it hijacked by the far left, and you've got city leaders walking around bragging we're a no-growth area, as if that's something to be proud of, while people suffer. And now we find out that there is just total pandemonium going on down at the county commission. It's just, I have to say I was shocked to hear that. And I think that there needs to be, if you can't get a hold of, you know, I know that Wayne Hancock was very upset when he lost his race. He was the sitting commissioner, county, the chief commissioner, you know. I know he was upset, but that doesn't justify it. And I think there needs to be an accounting, a public accounting by Billy Garrett. Why would you not deliver the evaluation if that's, you know. So, anyway, be that as it may, 523-1450 if you have an opinion. Now, I've got some local news for you. We'll be back, 731 AM Las Cruces, AM 1450, Kelly O'Connell. And just found out the astounding information. County Commissioner, the County Commission voted to give Julia Brown, the County Manager, a pay raise. And also threw away her evaluation 2 years in a row. Be right back. Thank you. All right, so getting information from Ben Rossen. All right, so anything else you want to talk about local, give me a call, 523-1450. In the meantime, get back to a little bit of a little more national news, but do you think something should be done, as David said, to Wayne Hancock or to Billy Garrett for trashing the, you know, throwing away the evaluation, not sharing it with the county manager? Should something happen, according to David, they should be prosecuted and jailed. I don't foresee that happening, but all right. Camila Paglia on the left overplaying its hand on President Trump and it being that Trump has already won re-election because he's done so much better than what people are saying. And in the meantime, 89% of stories in the media have been anti-Trump. And I've got this from Newsbusters called Honeymoon from Hell. Published yesterday, liberal media versus Trump. As President Trump approaches the end of his first 100 days in office, he's received by far the most hostile press treatment of any incoming American president in history, with the broadcast networks punishing him with coverage that has been 89% negative. We've all seen it. The networks largely ignored important national priorities such as jobs and the fight against ISIS in favor of a news agenda that has been dominated by anti-Trump controversies, and which closely match what would be expected from an opposition party. For example, President Trump's push to invigorate the economy and bring back American jobs received a mere 18 minutes of coverage, less than 1% of all airtime devoted to the administration. And well, not shocking, but 8 years ago, by contrast, the broadcast networks were enthusiastic about President Obama, with mostly positive stories. And an analysis of ABC, CBS, and NBC, the three main networks' news coverage of Obama, of Trump in his administration from January 20th through April 9th, coverage of the first 80 days was intense. And the networks churned out 869 stories about the new administration, 737 full reports, 132 brief mentions, and 140 full reports focused on other topics which discussed the administration. So we're talking 9 out of 10 stories about Trump from the beginning, from the very beginning, were anti-Trump. And as everybody knows, anybody who can remember, 8 years ago, the networks mostly delivered coverage of Obama's key policy priorities, and including the $1 trillion stimulus package, and mostly negative coverage on that. So anyway, here is Camille Paglia talking about this. She is a national talking head. She is a... I think her degree was in philosophy and art history, something along those lines, and talking about how the media has overplayed its hand and made made nonsense out of their coverage. Here she is, and this is from the New York Times interview with her and Frank Bruni. And hold on just a second. Oh, okay. Here we go.
Like, one can't have any conversation today without it being at some point about Donald Trump. So I thought we'd just begin with Donald Trump.
Oh, Lord.
Just get him entirely out of the way.
Okay.
In my world of friends and acquaintances, it seems like everybody is either in near hysteria and feels we're in the end of days, or they look at those people and see a bunch of drama queens. I want to know where you two stand on this. What's your state of mind and state of feeling about Donald Trump era? Yeah, we'll start with you, Camille, because I know you're so shy with your opinions.
Well, you know, I'm a Bernie Sanders supporter. I voted for Jill Stein, so I want to make that clear. My feeling that is that an election occurred, okay, and it's incumbent on the defeated party to pull itself together, or else we're going to get a re-election of the present administration. That's what I feel right now.
You feel like he's going to get re-elected?
Yes. Yeah. I think that the Democrats have overplayed their hand. I just can't imagine more.
But you're already betting on his reelection less than 100 days in.
Yes, because of what the Democrats needed to do and what the major media, Frank, needed to do, okay, was to do some social.
And by that you mean the failing New York Times.
Yes. Okay.
We're going to rebrand the failing Times talk. There's a lot of, yeah.
If you read only the New York Times, I mean, I said, oh my God. So the readers of the New York Times are heading for a major, major breakdown shock. Okay, if Trump is in fact elected.
Did you think he would be elected?
I was the very first to call him a carnival barker, and I didn't take him seriously at all. And then it was shortly after the very first Republican debate that where I saw I saw Diamond and Silk, African American sisters, okay, doing a pro-Trump an attack on Megyn Kelly. On their podcast, I suddenly saw the populism, right? And from that moment forward, I could feel the momentum of it. And the New York media, was in an absolute bubble about this. Okay, let's not get started on the strategic errors of the Hillary campaign.
We're gonna get to that, but let me ask Andy, when he came down that escalator, however, what was that, 2 years ago now, almost 2 years ago, did you think it was possible we'd be sitting here tonight talking about him in the White House?
No, there was a I kept thinking in the back of my head, he could win. I thought it was possible. I was the idiot who was going to 538 and looking at Nate Silver's percentages 18 times a day. And I was like, oh, it's okay. It's at 72% today, so it's going to be okay. And I just felt like the biggest asshole on election night. Like I had been, and then suddenly all the.
I do apologize. Anyway, let's take a break here. And the main fact that is covered there, I think, is that the media is so out of touch with what's going on in the administration, what they're achieving, what they're not achieving, that I don't think that they would have any clue as to whether he was going to be reelected. We've got a call. Thanks for the call, the Kelly O'Connor Show.
Good morning, Kelly. Happy 420, man.
Hey, you too. How's it going, Tekashi?
Another wonderful day above ground, my friend.
That's good. So what's up?
Hey, this situation with that election is definitely not a surprise because if you've been watching the town hall meeting lately, you will see that there is a lot of heckling going on in these Republican town hall meetings.
Yeah.
Apparently, a lot of the constituency is upset over this healthcare stuff.
Well, I don't know if you listened to the show the day that I was talking about or the days that I was talking about the army that Obama had put together. And I'm trying to remember the name of the acronym, AFO, something like that. Hold on. You're really coming across. Did you put us on speaker?
Okay.
Please don't do that. It's hard enough to hear. So there is a community organization group called AFO, and I'm trying to remember what the acronym stands for, but they're 32,000 I think they're being paid to go and protest this. So the media doesn't say, the media goes up and films this stuff, but they never say that these people are paid protesters or that they were sent in from another city, from another state. And that's what you're getting. It gives the sense that the administration is failing and that everybody is upset at him. But these are, this is the problem with the media. The media is so intent on destroying Trump that they refuse to give him anything, they don't tell the background. Yeah, there's a lot of angry people at this town hall, but they flew in from Minneapolis or from, and they have instructions. whether they're amateur or professional protesters, they tell them, don't sit together, spread out, you know, and so it's artificial. I'm not saying the people aren't angry, but I would think that if you went and interviewed the angriest people, that most of them would be from this group of professional activists.
Okay. So you'd say this election that recently happened where that guy pretty much lost, the Republican, it's a result of the propaganda?
Okay, so this guy that came in, his name was Ossoff. If you listen to him, and I was listening to him last night, he sounded like Obama, and I'm thinking that this guy sit around and listen to 1,000 hours of Obama. He's overly confident. He articulates. He's like an actor, and I think people listening to him, they hear that he doesn't live in their district, and they find out that he's never been in office before. He was a filmmaker, and then he became an aide on D.C., Washington, D.C. He was a congressional aide for 5 years. He sounds like something created in a laboratory to be sent in and win this election. I don't think that's what people are looking for. What's your take on it?
Well, it kind of seems like the new formula in regards to former President Obama, when you think about it, right? It seems like the new formula of approaching stuff. In that regard, mentioning that lady Julia T. Brown or whatever her name is, I just looked up her resume.
Yeah.
Her resume seems pretty impressive.
But let me ask you this. Let me ask you this. When you hear that they did an analysis, they did a review of her for 2 years, and for 2 years nobody gave it to her, and then they gave her a 30% pay raise. I mean, what's your reaction to that?
Well, this is the main question I would ask. What is her performance sheet like? You know, because that would definitely answer the reason why they would skip an evaluation. Because, I mean, I've worked for companies before where, you know, I kind of get called in the office and they just go ahead and tell me how good I'm doing and give me a raise. You
right,
know what
right.
I mean?
But there has to be something there. It can't be a coincidence, right? Common sense tells you it's not a coincidence. Why? So, and it makes it seem, I don't know for sure, but it makes it seem like she underperformed, doesn't it? I mean, why else hide her? Why refuse to give her evaluation? This whole thing stinks to high heaven, doesn't it?
Well, I would think Mr. Rawson, being that he is one of the commissioners too, I think he'd be abreast of the information as far as her performance goes. I was hoping that's what he was going to lay out for us, her performance sheet,
well,
you know?
I don't think he can. I'm behind on my ads. You want to sum it up?
Just have a good day, Kelly, and I want to say a happy 420 to the whole
the whole
Donna Anna County.
Perfect from a Jamaican.
Good day, man.
See ya, Takashi. All right, let's take a break here with some weather. We'll be back. Thank you. All right, so just concluding here and more on Fukushima, where there's wild boars. It's not just Washington, D.C. that has wild radioactive boars running around trying to harm the public. Experts are baffled as robots sent to clean up Fukushima nuclear site. They keep dying. Japanese robots are being sent into Fukushima, the site of the worst nuclear disaster since Chernobyl. And they keep failing because of incredibly high levels of radiation. The nuclear meltdown happened in 2011. The earthquake and tsunami left 18,000 people dead and more than a million buildings destroyed. At least 100,000 people who live nearby had to leave. Now it's believed 600 tons of toxic fuel may have leaked out of the reactor. Tokyo Electric Power Company, TEPCO, which oversees the... You ever wonder how a country with a non-English language ends up having an English name for their, say, their power company, TEPCO? Anyway, I don't understand how that works. They need to find out... TEPCO needs to find out how much damage is still there and how much radiation is still left. So they're using purpose-built Scorpion robots with cameras attached. And... these little Scorpion robots are taking it in the shorts, and it is killing him, but much faster than they thought. So they're going in there. They got little cameras on them, and they fail. They fall down on the job. So it must be more radioactive than they realize. All right. South African hunter eaten by crocodiles in Zimbabwe. He was Scott Van Zeel. And he disappeared and then was discovered in the stomach of a crocodile. He was accompanied by a pack of dogs and a Zimbabwean tracker. And the dogs returned back to the truck. And the master was nowhere to be seen. And so they do believe that he made a little mistake. And he got chomped on. What men and women want in bed, and this is from Indy 100, a massive 71% of people are into kink, according to an OkCupid survey of 400,000 people. 75% of men and 62% of women want rough sex. And 64% of men and 51% of women say they like to be tied up or do the tying. Here is a story. A treasure hunter found 3 tons of sunken gold, and he can't leave jail. Now, his name is Tommy G. Thompson. He's a brilliant guy. He was not trained as a treasure hunter. He's currently living in an Ohio jail cell. He was basically trained in, I'm looking for what they said. He is not a swashbuckling romantic kind of a person. He's methodical. And they say one of the most brilliant men that the government has ever tried to track down. So what he did was he studied where a ship crashed that was full of gold, had 3 tons of gold. He spent years studying the ship's fateful village, and he built a robot called Nemo. And he dove 8,000 feet down after he found it, and he got up to 3 tons of gold. He refuses to say where it is. He won't pay any of his investors back. And for years, he's been living in Florida with his girlfriend, paying his rent in moldy and wet bills, which make people believe that he's hiding all of the money. And it's very mean, but he won't pay anybody back. So he's been sitting in jail for 2 years until he tells the judge what happened to the 3 tons of gold. Here's a little Gaffigan, good riddance winner.
Can you believe it? Like death, taxes, and kale, it may never go away. This week, the Northeast was hit with a nor'easter, which is like Easter, but instead of eggs and candy, you get snow and your screaming children kept home from school. It's harder to deal with a snowstorm in March. Snow and cold are interesting for about a week in December. Then winter turns into a dead point setup that sits around your house making you depressed. Oh, on Wednesday, I was invited to go cross-country skiing. I live in New York City. I can't even believe cross-country skiing is even a sport. Hey, you know how in downhill skiing, there's that awkward part of getting over to the lift? Well, what if we just did that? Cross-country skiing seems like a sport that someone came up with after they bought skis and discovered they lived nowhere near a mountain.
Well, that doesn't matter. We don't need a mountain. We can just ski cross-country.
Most winter sports seem like some last-ditch effort you'd employ to escape the abominable snowman. Look, the only way we're going to get out of here is if we cross-country ski.
Really?
Yeah. That or snowshoe.
Well, what are we going to eat?
Unfortunately, we're going to have to ice fish.
I don't know.
How are we going to get down that mountain? We're going to have to sled down on a toboggan or a loose thing.
Couldn't we just get a group of dogs to pull us out of here?
People that enjoy winter generally seem mentally unstable. I just enjoy going outside when it's freezing and doing things nobody would want to do. If you were caught doing some of these winter activities, you'd be sent to an insane asylum.
Look, you need help. I saw you walking through the woods with tennis rackets tied to your feet.
And yesterday, we saw you sweeping a frozen lake. Just get some help. There's nothing wrong with it.
All right, folks. Have a good day. Thanks for tuning in. Really enjoyed hanging out with you. As always, Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, take you out with a little of Al Green, one of the great lovers in American music history.
I believe there's going to be...